is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think. Oh, captain, oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, wow. There are red spots under your eyes.
Chapter 41, One Last Quest. There were a few times, as a disciple, and even before that, during his second childhood, that Shang Chenghua experienced having the filth caked on for too long to be comfortable. On Ding Peak, missions can be dirty work. There's nothing like several days of hauling some disgusting slop with special cultivation properties, allegedly, to make a person feel like they might never be clean again. There were some missions where they would end up all jumping fully clothed into the first river they encountered, after running into some monster that left them all covered in spit or worse, and the water would come away in horrible browns and reds. The water that gets used to attack Binghe comes away black. There's some horrible browns and reds in there too, but it's mostly black. This isn't really what airplane shooting towards the sky meant by the character going through a blackening, but he'll take this change in the story happily. The water has to be changed out so many times. The smell kind of makes a person go, "Is this poisonous? Bro, am I taking damage from smelling this? It feels kind of like I'm taking damage just by smelling this." Binghe looks like he's going to cry from relief. Maybe he does. He's too relieved to be clean again to even be embarrassed that their resident healer, Xiao Jing, is forcibly helping to make sure it's done correctly and to inspect the young protagonist's many injuries. At this point, Shang Chenghua really suspects that Chen Chao Peak disciples have their sense of embarrassment over bodies and bodily functions surgically removed at some point. The injuries are, Shang Chenghua doesn't like looking at them, so he can only imagine how much Binghe didn't like getting them. The young protagonist is covered in scrapes, scratches, and even bites, which range from mostly faded to bleeding freshly again as they're jostled and cleaned. Binghe's clothes aren't even the same ones he was wearing at the conference, at least, but they're still totally unsalvageable. "I tried to use the supplies I had, Uncle, but there was nowhere to stop," Binghe confesses hoarsely, looking at a nasty-looking series of stings that have turned his entire forearm red and lumpy. "Not for long. At least demons heal quickly. I kept moving. It's fine now." "Aha. See, now that's a forced smile if Shang Chenghua has ever seen one." The red heavenly demon mark on Binghe's forehead has only a faint glow now, occasionally throbbing when Binghe lets out a low groan or visibly grits his teeth. Binghe is still unnaturally warm to the touch, but the overwhelming wildfire burn from the Immortal Alliance conference has apparently stabilized. The part that was locked away from the rest of him for so long has settled back in. After having his injuries treated, Binghe falls on the provided food with trembling restraint, like someone who wants to swallow everything whole but is unfortunately mindful of the risks of throwing up. While eating, Binghe listens intently to Shang Chenghua babble on about the current state of the cultivation sect, bad, and, most importantly, their family. Surprisingly good, not counting shitty in-laws and estranged birth fathers. The young protagonist is clearly eager to hear every detail about everything. His eyes and demon mark flash dangerously at the mention of the likes of the Northern Demon King, but Shang Chenghua insists that hearing more details about this emergency discussion conference can wait until later, because Binghe's eyelids look like they're forcibly trying to close on him. Closing time, everyone out. Bingha blinks rapidly to try and keep them open, grimacing with determination, like he's 7 years old again instead of 17, trying to keep Shang Tianghua at Luo Jiahui's house for as long as possible. Some things don't change, huh? Shang Tianghua had someone set up an extra bed in his bedroom again. Xiao Jing and Peng Hongpeng were apparently both sleeping in his room, on separate, temporary beds, before he really woke up. Though they both moved one room over since, so it wasn't hard to bring one back in. Shang Tianghua, of course, suggested that Bingha's first night outside of the Eternal Abyss could be in the most luxurious set of rooms in the White Sea Palace, pulling out all the stops for some much-needed pampering. But then the young protagonist looked up at him with big eyes and said,
"Uncle, can I sleep in your room?"
And, oh fuck, that's still as devastating as when he was 7 years old. What was Shang Tianghua supposed to say to that? No? Ridiculous. Absurd. Impossible. Mo Bei Jun is already there, clearly also having fed and bathed and had his injuries treated. The big ice demon is sleeping on his stomach on the main bed. Ah, just passed out, huh? He stirs when Shang Tianghua and Bingha enter. Shang Tianghua quickly waves a crutch at him. Xiao Jing finally let him have crutches.
"My king, it's just me. It's me. Go back to sleep."
Mo Bei Jun blinks at them, then rolls over and apparently does exactly that. Shang Tianghua helps get his exhausted nephew settled in to crash too. It takes some work, but he ends up sitting on his nephew's bed, because obviously the young protagonist can't be fully trusted to put himself to bed properly in his condition. He'll need an extra hand from an extra to manage the blankets. Luo Bingha rolls his eyes, frees an arm from the blankets. He apparently thinks his uncle is smothering him with, then reaches up for the necklace with the small pouch, which has finally made its way back to Shang Tianghua's person. The emergency nephew finder has been tucked safely back inside the pouch. Mo Bei Jun apparently took it, and the cool carved stone that he gave Shang Tianghua, while Shang Tianghua was, too delirious and or unconscious to notice. He hadn't been able to bring himself to ask what had been done with those dead links. However, while the spell on the matching pendants may have shattered when Bingha fell into the opening of the Eternal Abyss that the Northern Demon King created, casting a tracking spell on this little tooth from inside that nightmare pit apparently worked enough for Mo Bei Jun.
"You really kept it," Bingha murmurs, almost disbelievingly.
Shang Tianghua holds the warm hand holding onto the pouch.
What else would I have done?" he asks his nephew, and reaches out to ruffle his hair just because he can.
He can. "Of course I looked after it. My nephew was so clever to give me something to find him if he got lost."
Bingha huffs. "I was 7.
Six, not yet 7, Shang Tianghua corrects. "And it was still clever." Shang Tianghua doesn't want to think about where they'd be right now if the young protagonist hadn't decided to give him that baby tooth just after the House of Rejuvenation mess, following the example of the hair they'd used to find Fan Li almost too late. Right now, Shang Tianghua really likes to think that he would have asked for some other emergency nephew finder anyway, as a backup. Yeah, he's gonna tell himself it would have worked out somehow. Bingha lets go of the necklace and his hand falls to Shang Tianghua's midsection, landing gently against where some random asshole stabbed him. The mark on Bingha's forehead throbs faintly. He swallows.
"You're really?"
"I'm fine. Really, I'm fine. Everyone is fine," Shang Tianghua promises. His heart is so full right now that he could make any number of grand, sweeping promises. He's on top of the world, after all. Leave it all to him. Everything will be fine. If Bingha can make it out of the eternal abyss 5 years early, hardly blackened at all, nothing a really good bath can't take the worst off, then nothing is impossible. Zhang Tinghua stays here until his nephew can't keep his eyes open any longer and falls deeply asleep. Then he carefully moves his nephew's hand out of his lap and struggles to his feet as quietly as possible, dragging himself over to the main bed. His preparations for sleep tonight are limited to stripping off some layers and dumping them beside the bed. He's basically been wearing sleepwear all the time anyway, then wrapping himself in his blankets that protect him, most of the time, from Mo Bei Jun's reliably freezing cold feet. Those icy demon toes can be really nasty middle-of-the-night surprises. Sharing blankets is romantic and all, or whatever, but sometimes a man needs separate ones just to get some damn sleep at night. Zhang Tinghua really did not think that part of his perfect man through. Whoever brought the bed for Bingha made sure to put it where Zhang Tinghua can see the lump of his nephew through the darkness. When Zhang Tinghua can't take it anymore, watching his nephew breathing softly in sleep, he rolls over to face Mo Bei Jun. He wants to squeeze Mo Bei Jun's cheeks with all his strength out of resentful gratefulness. Why the fuck didn't his king just tell him he was doing this? Asshole! Dumbass! He really is the fucking worst person Zhang Tinghua knows. Zhang Tinghua only barely refrains from inflicting some kind of punishment on this horrible man. Instead, he leans over and kisses the ice demon on the jaw. Take that. Mo Bei Jun grumbles noisily, not even opening his eyes. He raises a drowsy, admonishing hand that ends up just patting Zhang Tinghua on the side. It stays there even when Zhang Tinghua rolls back over to stare at Bingha again. He's still resting there on top of the blankets when he finally falls asleep. It's kind of beneath, far, far, far beneath the likes of Mo Bei Jun to be playing at being a taxi service like this. End of the world as we know it, Zhang Tinghua reminds himself. End of the world as we all know it, bro. Anyway, unlike most other demon kings out there, Mo Bei Jun doesn't want to become Tian Langjun's subordinate and go to war on the man's whim. The other demon kings probably aren't super cool with the subordinate part either. Zhang Tinghua means that they want the war part, not the bowing and scraping to some smug asshole who looks all of 15. Desperate times call for desperate measures like this. Zhang Tinghua has made sure to express immense gratefulness that Mo Bei Jun, who's honestly still groggy from his deep dive into the eternal abyss to pull the young protagonist out of a soul-twisting hell amongst hells, and also for sleeping for 24 hours straight after doing that, is willing to drive Zhang Tinghua's head disciple turned spy around like this. So Peng Hung Peng is off delivering the good news of Bingha's return to Changchong Mountain Sect. Well, to Luo Jiahui, Liu Qingge, Yue Qingyuan, and Shen Qingchu, at least. And Zhang Tinghua is left to look after his nephew, who really should be resting instead of trying to concern himself with the state of the cultivation world and all these demon kings. Bingha has just been through a harrowing experience. He should sit back and relax, not start asking 1001 questions about the nitty-gritty politics. He should trust in other people to take care of the problems and just focus on getting better for once. Instead, this troublesome nephew, already apparently sick of this nice, comfortable bed, after demanding to hear about his shitty estranged father's demands, is saying things like, "So, is Huanhua Palace going to be forced to admit the truth?" His eyes are burning just a little.
Oh, he's angry, Xiangqing Hua thinks dumbly.
The other sects are going to make them apologize and admit the truth now, right? Bingha presses. Mama told Shizun and Shibo the truth, didn't she? They know what really happened now. Changchong can't let them get away with this now. They can tell everyone else.
Changchong can't really just make the rest of the cultivation world bend their necks, much less kowtow,
Xiangqing Hua says weakly.
He's pretty sure that Yue Qingyuan is totally willing to apologize to Tian Langjun and let the truth be known. The great sect leader of Changchong Mountain Sect would probably be willing to admit to his mistake, which was obeying the decisions of his teacher, the previous sect leader, when the man told him to fight the fucking demon emperor, even if there weren't lives on the line. Yue Qingyuan is OP enough to take that hit. He might even just apologize because it's the right thing to do or whatever. Big bro is chill like that.
The other sect leaders, all those other honored masters, some of those assholes might not give a shit about the truth at all and would straight up rather die than apologize to a demon. They'll say, it's a matter of honor. It's a matter of pride. We can never bow to the demon emperor. To do so would be to surrender the human realm to them. Or maybe they'll say, we did nothing wrong. It's really that Tian Langjun's fault for looking so evil and being so slutty in the first place.
Tian Langjun is probably counting on that. The demon emperor is probably planning on kicking back with snacks to watch the cultivation sects destroy themselves, rather than admit fault in any way. He won't need to feel any guilt about going to war after that. If he gave them a chance and they spat in his face, then they basically did this to themselves, right?
Bingha was not impressed to hear that, according to Peng Hongpeng's spying, Huanhua Palace's current stance is that Tian Langjun is lying about everything to sow discord and divide the cultivation world, when they most need to join together again to defeat him.
Xiangqing Hua wasn't impressed, but wasn't surprised, to hear that this hardline refusal has apparently been taken as truth by many cultivators. Huanhua Palace sect is a well-established, influential, and highly respected sect. Not so many people have the guts to tell the palace master to go fuck himself to his face, even if they know he's lying. Although, Peng Hongpeng did say that there's been a vocal opposition as well. The Demon Emperor's biggest grudge is with Huanhua, so let them deal with this problem of their own making, Peng Hongpeng summarized. I'm just saying, Shifu, that I definitely don't want to go to war for Huanhua. That doesn't sound like a me problem.
Bingha slams his hand against the table and launches to his feet, pacing the room like that might burn off the energy simmering beneath his skin. But Changchong does have the strength to tear Huanhua Palace sect open, he protests, running a hand over his demon mark and through his hair. Shibo is more than strong enough to make everyone listen, to band the other sects together and make them.
Ah, well, maybe,
Xiangqing Hua hedges. If Changchong Mountain Sect turned on the rest of the cultivation world and said, follow our example or else, then maybe. Sometimes those spines can be stiff and righteously unyielding. And sometimes they can go flop, especially if it's Shen Qingqiu saying to follow the leader while looking as scary as possible. But that could also end very, very badly for Changchong Mountain Sect. We could also be accused of being in league with Tian Langjun, Xiangqing Hua points out to his nephew. Though he doesn't point out that it's his fault and Bingha's existence that could be taken as the proof of that connection. Bingha glares at him, but not really at him, at the situation. It's still kind of unnerving, though. The young protagonist doesn't look only 7 years old again now. The energy in the room isn't hot exactly, but it's definitely pretty warm. Xiang Qinghua's leg is really itchy all of a sudden, and he might be imagining it here, but it almost seems as though Luo Bingha moves differently than before. Like, the weight that he's been carrying has changed. "Hasn't the palace master lied enough?" Bingha demands, turning away to keep pacing, gesturing with fraying restraint. "Hasn't he buried enough and twisted the truth enough? There must be some way to catch him out. There must be some proof that can be brought to that emergency conference that he can't say is fake or misleading or misinterpreted or any other fucking bullshit." Then that shitty bastard will know I wasn't lying when I said what happened to my birth mother. Everyone should know. He can't demand to see her when she's dead. Maybe if he hears it from the people who imprisoned her and killed her, then he'll believe what I told him. The energy in the room is heating up now, on the edge of crackling, pinpricks of needles touching like the first few drops of rain. Xiang Qinghua's leg is getting really, really itchy now. His side is throbbing in a weird way. Bingha? This is stupid. This is so fucking stupid. He's going to destroy the world just because he wants to, and he's going to go ahead and let the world go to war just because he won't stop lying to get what he wants. It shouldn't be allowed, and everyone else is going to go along with that because what? They're all too fucking scared to stand up and stop this? To find out what's real for themselves? They shouldn't be allowed to do that. True. That's true. It's just not so simple sometimes, making things happen. But it is simple, Bingha protests, his demonic mark burning bright now. Who put these people in charge of the fate of the human and demon realms? If they're going to be stupid like this, then they shouldn't be. Someone who isn't a complete fucking idiot should be in charge. Shibo and Shizen should make them stop this and do the right thing for once, or else they can just fuck off and die if they want to do that so badly. They shouldn't get to drag everyone else into it. No, you're right. You're very right here, but that shitty bastard almost has a point. If these people can't admit to the rot in their midst and swallow their pride enough to just admit they were wrong for the sake of the world, then what right do they have to look down on everyone else like they do? Why does being a demon make him wrong and everyone else righteous for trying to destroy him? If it's power that decides who's right and who's wrong, then this is what happens when someone more powerful comes along, isn't it? They can't suddenly be surprised that this is the way of the world. Once again, Xiang Qinghua is deeply grateful that the Jinmo sword apparently remains buried deep in the eternal abyss, untouched by the young protagonist, whose original Zheng Yang sword miraculously remains whole at his hip. But the situation still feels pretty bad without its corrupting presence. Clearly not all of Luo Bingha's demon side has settled in. There are still some growing pains. It's not under a tight-fisted control that can always keep it from seething out, radiant and boiling and biting, unable to reach out and destroy all the injustice in the world. Across the room, a shadowy portal opens, cool and familiar. A welcome break in the rising heat around them. Ah, shit. Bingha draws the Zheng Yang sword, though, and he doesn't immediately lower the blade, even when he sees it's Mo Bei Jun, the correct Mo Bei Jun, of course, stepping through. Luo Bingha and Mo Bei Jun stare at each other in silence. Ah, now the temperature in here just feels really, really weird. The energy in this too small room only gets worse, if anything, and Xiang Qinghua can't help but think back to the Immortal Alliance conference in all its horrifying OP glory and want to throw up just a little. Like that will somehow make him feel better. Mo Bei Jun looks towards Xiang Qinghua, who grimaces, and his frown deepens. Watching this, Bingha slowly puts away the Zheng Yang sword. He doesn't take his hand off it, though. Mobei-jun stalks across the room, right up to the young protagonist, whose grip on his sword tightens again. Bingha's mark flashes again. Shang Qinghua's nephew even bares his teeth for a moment, taking a step back. The untamed energy in the room flares as, holy shit, Mobei-jun opens another shadowy portal behind Bingha and just shoves him through it, before stepping through after him and vanishing. They're just gone. Did Mobei-jun just throw Shang Qinghua's nephew back into the abyss? He better fucking not have done that. The hot and cold and altogether shitty energy of the room takes a while to fade. Shang Qinghua would call someone in here to open up the damn windows to clear the air if they weren't, on the edge of a horrible frozen sea in the far north of the demon realm right now. Instead, he just nurses the lingering headache he's gained with some spiritual energy techniques and swallows that faint urge to throw up. It's actually a really common reaction to super strong, resentful energy in this realized version of Proud Immortal Demon Way. Not so much among powerful immortal masters, of course, but Shang Qinghua's isn't really... Look, he just wasn't prepared for that. He's not exactly at 100% right now, and his nephew is a heavenly demon, for fuck's sake. Anyway, it's definitely a reaction that's way more common than airplane shooting towards the sky ever wrote. With too much energy in the air, the human body can feel like it's been poisoned or something. So sometimes the body's quick fix response to this mysterious internal pain is to make a person throw up. Shang Qinghua thinks that Proud Immortal Demon Wei would have been much, much funnier if the beautiful future wives, when overwhelmed by the protagonist's extraordinary, powerful, and virile aura, had unattractively vomited on him instead of falling into perfectly elegant faints. Ha! The readers would have hated that. It's not long before a shadowy portal opens up again and Mobei-jun steps through again, noticeably without Shang Qinghua's nephew. Shang Qinghua was kidding about the throwing Bingha back into the eternal abyss thing. My Kang, where's Bingha?
I gave him to my cousin,
Mobei-jun answers. Which isn't actually super illuminating. Why?
To work off his temper.
Okay. Mobei-jun just strangled Shang Qinghua's half-demon teenage nephew with, very rightful, honestly, anger issues, off fuck knows where in the demon realm with only his 20-something cousin for supervision. That's a solution. That's definitely a solution of some kind. Good or bad? Who knows? Mobei-jun comes to sit next to Shang Qinghua. He kind of collapses, honestly. My king, did you tell Bingha that's what was happening?
I said that I would be back.
That's pretty good for Mobei-jun, really. And is your cousin prepared for dealing with that kind of thing? It takes Mobei-jun a little longer to answer here, but eventually he says,
yes.
Ah, okay. If Mobei-jun is fully prepared to pick out a new favorite cousin, that's fine. Although, Mobei-jun did apparently intend that the young protagonist would be hanging out with his young cousin, so maybe Mobei Zhao is prepared to handle heavenly demon babysitting. The best people to teach Bingha how to get a handle on his demonic side are other demons. Shang Qinghua should probably warn Xiao Jing about this. In a bit, he decides. For now, he sits back, threading his fingers through Mobei-jun's fingers, and wishing that Luo Jiahui was here too. His sister-in-law would know what to do about this. She always does. Mobei-jun goes back for his young cousin and Shang Qinghua's young nephew after about an hour. Bingha and the ice demon both look like they went a few too many rounds on Baichan Peak, limping slightly and a little bloody, but fine.
Bingha's walk back can best be described as slinking. Mobei Jun's young cousin's walk, on the other hand, can best be described as sauntering. As in, the ice demon saunters up to Xiao Jing and announces,
"I'm injured. Please help me."
Xiang Qinghua kind of forgot to warn her until the last moment. He only summoned her after Mobei Jun left, but she doesn't even look surprised. She treats them both. Bingha allows himself to be treated in dejected silence and stays after the Chen Chao Peak disciple has left and Mobei Jun has dismissed his young cousin.
"Sorry, uncle," he says.
It's fine, it's fine. Growing pains." Xiang Qinghua forgives quickly, reaching out to ruffle his nephew's already messy hair. He nods to Mobei Jun, who puts a hand on his shoulder, then follows his young cousin out of the room. Bingha watches Mobei Jun go with sharp eyes and carefully twitching fingers. The Zhengyang sword is back on his hip. He doesn't reach for it again.
"Are you all right?" Xiang Qinghua asks.
"Fine."
Good. That's the important thing." Xiang Qinghua really, really wishes that Luo Jiahui was here.
Bingha's fingers keep twitching.
Xiang Qinghua reaches out to take them, rubbing his thumb along one of the bandages wrapped around his nephew's arm. The young protagonist's hand is warm, but not burning hot anymore.
I'm angry too," Xiang Qinghua admits. "I'm angry about all of this. You're right. It's really stupid. But we're here right now, and Liu Qingge will make sure that everyone does the right thing, don't you think? And your Shizen, he won't let this go. But we can't have another Immortal Alliance conference. We need to be careful about it so that we don't have another one of that."
Bingha lets out a long exhale, a shine in his eyes, then nods.
"I know, uncle," he says hoarsely, insistently. I know it's really more complicated than just telling everyone not to be stupid. I'm not stupid. I know that."
"I know," Xiang Qinghua says. "Tia, that shitty bastard is forcing the issue. It's Huanhua Palace. The palace master isn't going to get away from this. Xin Qingqiu might be a proud bastard who would probably rather die than admit he was wrong about anything. But if it's for his own survival and Yue Qingyuan's survival, and he gets to drag Huanhua Palace sect through the mud first, well, sometimes exceptions to the rule can be made."
"What about your friends from Huanhua Palace? Are they alive too?"
"I don't really know," Xiang Qinghua admits.
"What's going to happen to them?"
"I don't know.
A lot of them don't know anything about what happened," Bingha tells him. "I talked to some of them."
"When did you do that?"
"At the Immortal Alliance conference."
"I told you not to do that."
"I know."
Xiang Qinghua is still kind of surprised that his teenage nephew didn't go ahead and murder the palace master right then and there. Not assassinate. Assassination is political. This would have been personal. So just talking to some Huanhua Palace sect people isn't that surprising. Well, what did those Huanhua disciples have to say for themselves?
Most of them never even met Su Xian.
Yeah.
Their masters remember her fondly, though. They said she was charming.
I heard that. Xiang Qinghua recalls.
They liked her. They cursed that shitty bastard for being the death of her, even before they knew he was back. Like they still care.
Bingha says, his voice strained again.
They're probably not going to believe that he didn't do it, especially not when he's acting like this. He's just making everyone hate him more like this.
No, he's not making any friends, Shang Qinghua agrees, because he definitely doesn't have anything resembling warm and fuzzy feelings for that shitty bastard right now. But, on the other hand here, if you were accused of kidnapping and killing the person you loved, then attacked and imprisoned for it, would you be calm and polite and patient about telling everyone they were wrong? Unfortunately, as a writer, as the writer, he can see both sides of this.
No, Bingha admits begrudgingly.
Shang Qinghua pats his nephew's hand. We should get more news from Changchong Mountain Sect soon. It'll probably be bad news again, but at least we'll have a better idea of what to do next. And your mother is going to be so happy to hear that you're safe and sound, you know? I'm honestly a little surprised that we haven't heard the cries of joy from here, really.
Did he ask about me?
What?
Did he ask about me at all?
Shang Qinghua blinks. Your Shizen, Yue Qingyuan, Liu Qingge, of course,
no, him.
Ah. Bingha's stare is wet and shining, fixated on the ground. Not that I heard about, Shang Qinghua admits. But, we haven't really been getting all the details here. When Peng Hong Peng comes back, we'll know.
Bingha closes his eyes, holding on to Shang Qinghua's fingers like a lifeline, his demon mark throbbing again. I fell into the eternal abyss, he croaks, and he didn't even ask about what happened to me.
Shang Qinghua could make a lot of excuses here. He could reiterate that they really don't know all the details here. That maybe Tian Langjun sent an extra message to Yue Qingyuan and Shen Qingchu about Luo Bingha that Peng Hongpeng missed. Shang Qinghua could also point out that Tian Langjun's indifference is kind of a good thing for them. It would actually probably be really fucking bad for them if Tian Langjun drew any attention to Luo Bingha right now, or suggested that he give a single shit about his son's fate. It's probably more like, as far as Tian Longjun is still concerned, the late Su Xian nearly succeeded in arranging his death once. He's not about to let her son finish the job. Shang Qinghua doesn't point this one out. Instead, he opens his arms so that his nephew can cry into his shoulder. He's still convinced that Luo Jiahui would be better at this, but Bingha doesn't seem to mind for now.
Watch the leg, watch the leg!
Sorry, uncle. It's fine, okay, you're off the leg, you can go back to crying.
Bingha huffs in laughter.
Thanks, uncle. When Mo Bei Jun returns the next day from the sect that Shang Qinghua isn't allowed, at least according to Peng Hong Peng and Mo Bei Jun, to return to until his odds of being stabbed in the gut again reach an acceptable level. So, maybe never? Probably not until the other sects are gone. But also, maybe never. Mo Bei Jun comes back with two of Shang Qinghua's disciples. Two? That's different. Shang Qinghua blinks to see his fellow transmigrator suddenly standing in the middle of the White Sea Palace. Xin Yuan blinks back at him. He doesn't vanish or anything, so he's apparently not some weird demon food-induced hallucination or anything. As Peng Hong Peng faithfully delivers correspondence from Yue Qingyuan, Shen Qingchu, and Luo Jiahui before getting on with the news. According to Peng Hong Peng, nearly all of the other cultivation sect representatives have arrived at Changchong Mountain Sect now, and everyone is very, very tense. People are apparently still mostly divided between Tian Longjun is a lying liar who lies and must die, and hang on, I have some questions for Huanhua Palace about this bullshit.
Either that or, I don't really give a shit about what the truth is. I think we should just give the Demon Emperor what he wants so we don't die. Shang Ching Huan nods along, still staring at his fellow transmigrator, until Peng Hong Peng gets to the part where he finally spoke to Yue Qingyuan and Shen Qingqiu in person, all but explicitly saying to the two most powerful and scariest people in the sect, "Hi, I've been spying on you for my traitorous teacher." "Ah, congratulations on not dying," Shang Ching Hua offers, impressed.
"Thank you, Shifu,"
Peng Hong Peng says. After this meeting, Shen Qingqiu apparently threw Shen Yuan at Peng Hong Peng and told him to take him.
"If he won't stay in one place, he can go,"
Shen Qingqiu apparently snapped.
"I was only trying to talk to some people and meet up with Peng Shixiang,"
Shen Yuan mutters.
"Isn't Huanhua Palace out for your blood?"
Shang Ching Hua asks. Shen Yuan glares. "They're out for yours, too."
"They kind of think, or hope, that he's dead," Peng Hong Peng points out. "But if they knew that he was alive and where he was, they would be out for his blood right now, should he? You're right. Sorry, Shifu."
"And that is why I'm here and not there. And not allowed to be there until
further notice,"
Shang Ching Hua says, looking around for Mo Bei Jun, who probably hasn't changed his mind about letting Shang Ching Hua near stabby cultivators, and also
isn't here.
Right. Back to his shitty dying father's bedside for real this time. Maybe my king really should just kill him already. Even though now is not the best of times for a transition of power in the demon realm.
Shang Ching Hua intends to read the letter from Luo Jiahui on his own, or with Bing He, but he opens the letters from Yue Qingyuan and Shen Qingqiu to skim now while Peng Hong Peng talks about the different opinions on Tianlangjuan and on Huanhua Palace at the emergency discussion conference. The one from Shen Qingqiu, in the most pointedly beautiful calligraphy that Shang Ching Hua has ever seen in his life, begins, "You are a coward and a fool." That's really the opening line. Shang Ching Hua was honestly expecting worse.
"Aha," he thinks wisely, "Shen Shixiang must be saving the worst of it for in person."
Shen Qingqiu thinks that he's a coward and a fool for the following reasons. An incomplete list. 1. Adopting a heavenly demon child. 2. Bringing that heavenly demon child to Changchong Mountain Sect. 3. Sending that heavenly demon child to Qingjing Peak. 4. Bringing that heavenly demon child to the Immortal Alliance Conference. 5. Allying himself with a demon. And so on and so forth. Blah, blah, blah. Really, like Shang Cheng Hua needs a senior martial sibling, especially this Shixiang, to tell him that he makes bad decisions. He knows that.
"Ah," he says finally. "What is it, Shifu?"
Peng Hong Peng asks.
"Now would be the time to prevail upon your connections with Huanhua Palace,"
Shang Cheng Hua reads aloud.
Your Shibo isn't certain that I should show my face at this emergency discussion conference, but while the palace master is absent, and I'm not doing anything else, and I'm, keeping company with a demon, well-practiced at breaking into great sects, shit."
Shang Ching Hua hopes that doesn't mean that Shen Qingqiu has figured out the Sha Hua Ling thing, but there's no way that he's that lucky.
Shit, fuck, damn.
The letter gets even worse as it goes on, actually.
"Well, at least he doesn't seem to want you dead, Shifu,"
Peng Hong Peng offers,
a shining voice of optimism here.
"At least directly?"
"Ah, of course not,"
Shang Ching Hua sighs.
"I'm still useful."
Yue Qingyuan's letter isn't nearly so mean.
He's mostly just reiterating what he said last time, that Shang Ching Hua can return to Chang Chang Mountain Sect, and they'll hear him out. Though he does nicely take the time to say that he's glad to hear Shang Ching Hua's nephew is safe and well. Big Bro does say, however, that if Shang Ching Hua chooses to return to the sect to speak with them, or at the emergency conference, he thinks it would be a good idea for Bing He to stay away from the sect for a while. Until further notice, really. Unsurprising and sensible, Chang Chang Mountain Sect is really not a good place for young, outed, heavenly demons right now. Peng Hung Peng talks his bit, while Xin Yuan develops a sour expression. Ah, what now? Is it all the bad news and tedious politics? Did Peerless Cucumber remember some hated detail about Proud Immortal Demon Wei that he feels Shang Cheng Hua hasn't been lambasted enough for already? He's looking anxiously towards Peng Hung Peng. Ah, transmigrator business. Eventually, Shang Cheng Hua shoos his loyal and fantastic head disciple off with a dismissal that goes like, "Super great job. Amazing work. Go get some rest or something. I want to ask some things about my sister." Peng Hung Peng doesn't seem too pleased about being told to leave them to talk alone, but he goes, probably to go find Xiao Jing. "So, how is Luo Jiahui?" Shang Ching Hua asks, gently thumbing at the letter with the painstakingly careful handwriting he hasn't read yet. "Tired?" Xin Yuan answers, then says, "Sad at first," Fun Li said, "but happy again after hearing her son is back and safe. Still worried, though," Fun Li said. Apparently, Liu Qingge is doing a lot of the cooking for them right now when he's not out and about on sect business. Breaking up brawls, glowering at sect leaders while someone else does the talking, and telling people to stay in their fucking lines, Shang Ting Hua assumes, which is very important work at these conferences. Or when his parents or Luo Fan Li aren't doing it. Letting Luo Jiahui boss them around the kitchen right now is probably the only thing keeping Shang Ching Hua's very pregnant sister-in-law from stress cooking for the entire mountain range of Tiangong. Despite the fact that she knows she shouldn't be on her feet too much.
"Bing He's really back?"
Shang Ching Hua looks up from the letters.
"Yeah," he says, unable to keep himself from smiling. "He's really back, just like that." "And the system
doesn't seem to give a shit, bro." Luo Bing He was revealed to be a heavenly demon, fell into the eternal abyss one way or another, and now he's in the demon realm. Apparently this is good enough. It's definitely good enough for Shang Ching Hua. The system checked those boxes and didn't set up a minimum time requirement for the abyss stage, and that's fine. Shang Ching Hua kind of wants to scream, "What the fuck, system, bro?" But he also doesn't want to question it too much. Bing He is back, and if Shang Ching Hua thinks about it too much, he can make his heart do a flip. It's kind of incredible and uncomfortable. He's a little concerned that if it keeps happening, his heart might really burst on him or something. It wasn't built to hold this much emotion. Shang Ching Hua failed, and then Mo Bei Jun fixed it. He kept trying until he fixed it. Because he promised. Anyway, with Tian Longjun here like this, early even for the original outline, which is the only place he really existed in Proud Immortal Demon Wei, Shang Ching Hua could seriously think that his shitty, no-good transmigration system is trying to run through its surprise plot as quickly as possible. The system wants this whole shit show over with, almost as much as Shang Ching Hua does, apparently. That kind of cold-blooded disinterest is relieving and terrifying and frustrating beyond all belief. Maybe the system has decided that Tian Longjun is a sufficiently nightmarish replacement problem. He says as much to his fellow transmigrator. Xin Yuan's response is, "Why the fuck is Tian Longjun here?" Which is fair. "Holy shit, I know, right?" Shang Qinghua groans. What the fuck is going on? Shen Yuan already knew about the vague existence of an original outline for Proud Immortal Demon Wei, and has already lamented many, many times how Airplane Shooting Towards the Sky sold out and wrote a stallion novel full of broken promises on every level, instead of following that lost original outline. But they've never really talked about Tian Longjun. Neither of them ever expected that motherfucker to crawl out from under Bailu Mountain. Shang Qinghua's fellow transmigrator especially wants to know how the fuck the fallen demon emperor is young and powerful again.
Yeah, get in line, bro.
Shang Qinghua says, you wrote in too many stupid plot devices, Shen Yuan says, arms crossed, still not managing to look as scary as the other Shen might. Most people limit themselves to just 1,000-year-old ginseng power-up and things like that, you know? I think that actually shows a lack of creativity on their part. To not reuse and copy everything? Well, how has anyone heard of any special power-up if there's only one out there, bro? That just doesn't make sense.
Shen Yuan makes a disgusted noise and throws up his hands. Forget it. There's just no getting through to you. What are you going to do about Tian Longjun and his demands about Huanhua Palace? Did you get the Lines That Cannot Be Crossed mission update?
Ah, the mysterious backstory one? Yes, I did.
So, you're from Huanhua Palace, bro. Congratulations and condolences on that shitty, shitty piece of luck. How's that unfortunate plot development treating you?
Badly. Shen Yuan scoffs. I still don't actually remember anything.
That sucks.
And now Huanhua Palace is saying that I'm dangerous and possibly insane, and that I've infiltrated Changchong Mountain Sect to escape my crimes. Well, that's what Wen Shimei said, but I think she was exaggerating. Shen Yuan gives Shang Qinghua an uncertain look. It can't be true, can it?
It's probably not,
Shang Qinghua says, with no fucking clue whether he's lying or not. I think they were just counting on it being their word against yours, bro. Sounds like they're kind of panicking right now.
Shen Yuan looks relieved by this pronouncement. I suggested maybe just letting them take me back to Huanhua Palace. It could be a way of completing the new mission stage, right? Once I was inside, I could have looked around the dungeons or something. But when I suggested just going with them, that failed scum villain Shen Qingchu just looked at me and said, do you have a brain? Do you have any brain at all?
Haha, nice impression. That's pretty good.
He said, Changchong Mountain owes Huanhua Palace no deference and will not be showing it, so I ended up stuck on Chongding Peak doing nothing.
Probably for the best, bro. I don't know how much investigating you'd really be able to get done from inside a prison cell. Unless you learned how to pick all kinds of locks and undo all kinds of seals while I wasn't paying attention.
I don't even know how to get to Huanhua Palace, Shen Yuan admits.
Ah, that's a problem.
So I came here instead. You do have a plan to complete the mission, right?
Bro, I have plans to have a plan?
Shen Yuan's frown deepens,
which Shang Qinghua feels is deeply unfair from a fellow transmigrator who did not get stabbed, who did not get their leg fucked over by their shitty demon king-in-law, and whose first plan was apparently get arrested by Huanhua Palace to get inside and start investigating from there. Shang Qinghua isn't at the sect right now because he got stabbed and whisked away by his secret demon ally. Shen Yuan has apparently gotten himself kicked out just for being too annoying. Is this some kind of weird peace offering from Shen Qingchu? Or did the man just decide that Shen Yuan can be Shang Qinghua's problem again?
It's your mysterious backstory mission,
Shang Qinghua adds defensively. Tian Longjun wants Su Xian, Shen Yuan says slowly.
like Shang Tinghua missed that part. If there's any kind of proof of what happened to her, anything to get him and everyone else to stop this from turning into a war, it's going to be inside Huan Hua Palace. Okay, Shang Tinghua can kind of admit that all of his active missions are pointing him towards Huan Hua Palace sect right now. Shen Qingqiu's letter actually ended on him asking whether or not, to Shang Tinghua's knowledge, Huan Hua Palace sect has Su Xian's body. Shen Qingqiu said that, given everything else Shang Tinghua apparently knows that everyone else doesn't know, he honestly sees no reason why Shang Tinghua shouldn't be able to somehow satisfy Tian Langjun's impossible demand. Asshole. Why does Tian Langjun think that Su Xian is still alive, or that Huan Hua Palace should still know where she is? Shen Yuan presses. Because last he knew, she was their head disciple and she betrayed him? Shang Tinghua suggests. Bro, maybe he thinks she's still alive and had a falling out with her master over Binghe, and that this drama will scare her out of hiding or something? Who knows what that man thinks, bro? He was buried under a mountain for years. He's probably kind of crazy. I didn't see anything at the Immortal Alliance conference to make me think that he was reasonable and well-adjusted or anything. I've heard that he took the place of a Huan Hua Palace disciple and killed a Huan Hua Palace master before he revealed himself. Maybe he knows something. Where did you hear that? I overheard it. Shang Tinghua gives his fellow transmigrator a long look. Bro, he says finally, where's the Weeper's Eye? There's no fucking way that you left it behind. Shen Yuan sighs, but reaches into his sleeve and withdraws a Tianqun pouch. Another one of Shang Tinghua's Tianqun pouches. Ah, this fellow transmigrator really listened when Shang Tinghua said, what's mine is yours, huh? The palace master is hiding something, Shen Yuan insists. We knew that already. Something about Tian Longjun's demands. The eye said that the palace master has the same heart's desire and thinks that he's finally found it.
Really?
Yes.
That doesn't sound good, Shang Tinghua admits. Especially when someone tried to kidnap Luo Jiahui. That sounds really, really, really fucking bad, actually. But still, bro, I can't exactly just walk into Huan Hua Palace anymore. Shang Tinghua waves at his fucked up leg and crutches for emphasis. They've probably locked the palace the fuck down right now that Tian Langjun is back. Shen Yuan glares at him. He opens his mouth to argue at the same time that someone bursts into the room already talking. Uncle, Peng Shixiang said that there's a letter from... Binghe cuts off with a choked sound as he comes face to face with Shen Yuan. Shang Tinghua gets to watch the two of them stare at each other, wide-eyed, in silence, for a solid 20 seconds. He counts. Binghe just came back from his tour of the White Sea Palace with Mo Bei Zhao, which apparently somehow ended in another fight. Is this going to be a demon thing? Shang Tinghua's nephew's hair is a mess. He has new bandages visible on his arms. He's wearing clothes a little too large for him in Mo Bei clan blue. And he apparently didn't bother fixing these borrowed clothes properly after treatment before running over here. Shang Tinghua witnesses an aborted hand motion from his nephew. Like Binghe thought for a split second he could just cover his heavenly demon mark, which is hilarious. He can't wait to tell Luo Jiahui about this later. Shen Yuan is the first one to smile, if awkwardly, and says, almost jokingly, Luo Shixiang. Binghe smiles back. Shen Shidi, he manages. Welcome to the demon realm. What are you doing here?
He came back with Peng Hong Peng to deliver the latest news from the sect. Zhang Qinghua answers, realizing just now that this means Peng Hong Peng told Bing Ho there was a letter from his mother and then neglected to mention that Xin Yuan was here. Ah, well done, Peng Hong Peng. That's very funny.
I'm glad you're safe, Xin Yuan offers.
Thank you for your concern, Bing He says, politely, still clearly feeling wrong-footed.
And thank you for the extra supplies for the Immortal Alliance Conference. They were very useful in the Eternal Abyss.
You're welcome. Bing He is clearly running out of polite things to say. Which is when Shang Qinghua's fellow transmigrator apparently decides to blurt out a confession.
I already knew, he says. I already knew that you were a demon before the conference, and I don't care.
Bing He's eyes go wide again.
You...
He looks at Shang Qinghua, which is the reasonable thing to think, and also technically not incorrect, since airplane shooting towards the sky is the one who originally told Peerless Cucumber that Luo Bingho was a heavenly demon. If web novels from another lifetime count...
He didn't tell me,
Xin Yuan says, even though Shang Qinghua would have been fine with being thrown under the bus like that. Xin Yuan then realizes his mistake here in unthinkingly giving up this perfectly good explanation, opening and closing his mouth like a fish. How did he know then? It's kind of connected to my own future knowledge and insight, Shang Qinghua offers, because he can't just let his disciple drown in front of him like this, no matter how fucking funny it is. This is too embarrassing to let go on for long. It's, one of the reasons that I originally took him on as my disciple, because he knew some sensitive things like that.
Oh, Bing He says. Then, when did you know?
From the moment we met, Xin Yuan admits.
More or less.
Shang Qinghua is now kind of concerned that the young protagonist is going to faint on them. Luo Bingho looks like someone just pulled a world update on him. Not a bad world update, if there is such a thing. That's definitely not an unhappy expression on his nephew's face, but it's still clearly a big surprise. What strange new world is this? Xin Yuan looks away first, turning his attention, and... Ah, there's that glare again. Back on Shang Qinghua.
We need to investigate the Huanhua Palace dungeons, he announces, raising his chin and everything.
Clearly nothing good has come from waiting and not doing anything for so long. There's not much time left.
Shang Qinghua's fellow transmigrator's look is very meaningful.
Ah, shit, did his system give him a timeline or a time limit or something? Shit, shit, shit! And he's doing this in front of Bing He now.
Low blow, cucumber bro, Shang Qinghua thinks angrily.
Low fucking blow! Bing He latches on immediately to this change in subject.
The Huanhua Palace dungeons? He repeats. Uncle, what news is this? Is there proof there?
I think so. Xin Yuan declares, steamrolling his poor, mistreated, disrespected transmigration mentor here.
Whatever proof there might be to satisfy Tian Longjun's demands, I'm sure it's down there, in some form or another. Is there going to be a better time than now, with the palace master being away?
Well, I don't think it's going to get any easier if a war starts. Shang Qinghua glares at his fellow transmigrator's tone. He knows that. Fuck, he thinks, looking between his determined nephew and his stubborn fellow transmigrator. He has the horrible, horrible feeling that if he doesn't let Luo Bingha and Xin Yuan go to Huanhua Palace now, they'll find a way to fling themselves into the danger no matter what he says. He can try to ground them all he likes. He can shout things like, no solo missions for either of you until you're 30 and that's final. Sure, they're all stranded right now in the far, far reaches of the northern demon realm. But can he really trust that to stop these stubborn troublemakers?
Xiang Qinghua doesn't know if he trusts like that. If he doesn't take the protagonist to the action, will the action come for the protagonist? Why did Xia Hui teach her son to walk? It's been nothing but trouble ever since. Xiang Qinghua thinks fondly back to the days of crawling. It was still troublesome, of course, but it wasn't nearly as bad as this nonsense. Who gave Bingha permission to be all grown up like this? Fine, Xiang Qinghua says. Fine, we'll work something out. Fuck, fine. Mo Beijun is going to hate this.